Find the right words. I'll just leave it up to the imagination, okay? My wife's glad to be here. Thanks, Austin.
Amen, bro.
He's from New York.
Oh, he's from New York.
Yeah.
And so we've known each other, I guess, going on about 5 years, going around 5 years. And I knew before he was saved. And it's one of those things that I met right before he got saved. I was there at the revival meeting the night he got saved.
Amen.
And thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
The Lord saved our hearts together. But the Lord saved his wife, I guess, about 6 months after he got saved. The Lord saved his wife, Amen. Raised Roman Catholic, they had been religious, they had been duped into the fundamentalist religion, and as you said, religion very carefully, yet without Christ.
That's
right. And so they sold them a bill of goods concerning this thing of Jesus Christ. And you just say this, Jesus Christ is a real person.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, when he saves the uttermost, he takes up residence. Hardest, coldest, deadest.
Yes, sir.
And
try.
He changes you from the inside.
Try.
What he did for me, he'll do for you.
That's right. Yes, sir.
What he did for the Dale Morey, he'll do for you.
Yes, sir.
I'm preaching out of Ezekiel 13 tonight with the Lord's help. I want to say this. If you offended one point of the law, you're guilty of all.
That's right.
Is that not correct?
That's right.
That's right.
Brother Dale, we would say, you know, consider exceeding sinful. So,
oh boy, bro.
Sadly, so are some of them. Oh, I'm a good person. Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
If you offend one point of the law, you offend the law.
Yeah.
You say, well, I wouldn't tell all that stuff about being abused as a child. I wouldn't tell all that stuff. You offend one point of the law. Guilty of all.
That's right.
Do we not forget that if we have tried sin in our hearts, no matter what the fashion of sin is, whether it's lying, stealing, adultery, fornication, lust, covetousness, ungodliness of any kind, if we've conceived in our heart, we're guilty of the whole law. We're guilty as a sodomite. I thought the preacher really makes, I know he believes that. The rest may not believe that. You really believe that?
Yes, sir.
You're guilty of sodomite. You're guilty as a murderer.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
I told them this morning in church, I said, we stand and we rail on the abortion doctor, but we were as guilty as those committing abortion.
That's right.
Outside of Jesus Christ, every mouth may be stopped. The whole world will become guilty before God.
That's right.
You know why most people have never become guilty? Their mouths have been stopped. They're too good a person to get saved. I don't know, Brother Goss, some of you might have missed it. I understand what he was saying. He said, a lot of these homes over across town over here, you know, he said, they don't need Jesus Christ. Why? They got money. They got goods. They got this world's goods.
Go ahead, preacher.
They do need Jesus Christ. He knows that. That's what he was saying.
Yeah.
But in their mind, they don't need Jesus Christ. Yeah. Sadly, some of us, we need Jesus Christ, but in our heart, our mind, we have religion.
Yes, sir.
So therefore, we don't need Jesus Christ.
That's right.
The opiate of the masses, I will say that. Alvin Holmes was right about that, nothing else. Religion is the opiate of the masses. Find the religion nearest you. Get involved in religion. Soothe your mind and comfort your heart with the religion of today.
Yep.
Without Christ, it's vain. You'll die and go to the same hell as the drunkard, the sodomite, the prostitute,
right,
and the abortionist.
That's right.
Religion is dumbing down the minds of people. Religion has been the front to more people in this day and this generation than what we can even possibly find.
Man.
I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me read some scripture. I'm not looking to offend you tonight, but if you get offended, that's not my fault.
Amen.
Psalm 119:165 says, great peace, how they was loved by all. And a few things are going to, no, I read that wrong. How does that go? Nothing shall offend us, right? If you're still getting offended, you may not love the law of God. If you're easily offended, it may be because you don't love Him. If you're easily offended, it could be because you're looking for offense. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them.
Yes, sir.
Got to get up early or do it. When Samuel said on this wife, you can't offend a dead man.
Oh, that's good, brother. Yep.
You can kick a dead man. You can stomp on a dead man. You can pull his necktie and tug his shoes and steal his wallet, but he's not going to get offended.
That's right.
So if we just die to self and die to our wants and our desires, we wouldn't get all offended.
That's right.
God said, I'm not trying to toot his horn. If he blows it, messes it up, it won't be on me. It'll be his fault. But one thing I like about Brother Dale is he just makes people uncomfortable. And I think a lot of people need to be made uncomfortable.
Yes, sir, brother. Yeah.
They just do. A lot of people are so comfortable in religion. They're so comfortable in the opiate called religion. It's just this lethargic religion. Yet they don't have saving grace that Brother Dale talked about. They don't have a changed life that the Bible describes.
That's
they
right.
do not have the peace of God that passeth all understanding.
Right.
They don't know a relationship with Jesus Christ. But they know who He is.
That's right. Yeah.
They know stories about Him, but yet they don't know Him. He that hath the Son, hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, hath not life.
That's right.
How do you know you have the Son? He said, man that hath not the Spirit of Christ is what? None of His. So if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we're none of His. We don't have the Son. What is the Spirit of Christ? The Spirit of Christ full of lust. Would we indict the Spirit of Christ with lustfulness? Would we indict the Spirit of Christ with gross negligence in our sinful ways and just accusing Him of our failures and faults of covetousness and desires beyond what God would have us have? Would we indict Christ with that? That's not the Spirit of Christ.
No.
The Christ is holiness.
Yes, sir.
Godly. He's holy.
Yep.
God is always holy.
Yes, sir.
I told him the other day, the Lord kind of just was giving me some things on the fly. I told him in the church, people use several excuses. They say, well, we're all just sinners. You know what that's saying, well, it's because I'm a sinner because I want to be a sinner.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
Well, we're just carnal. I'm just carnal. To be carnally minded is enmity with God.
That's right.
How dare we indict Christ with carnality because of us? Oh, I'm just carnal, preacher. You're an enemy with God. Well, I'm just flesh and bone. Jesus Christ overcame sin in the flesh.
Yes, He did. Sure did.
He not only overcame sin in the flesh, He condemned sin in the flesh.
Yeah. That's right, brother.
Well,
yeah.
Preacher, I'm just fleshly. Jesus Christ condemned it.
Yes, sir.
He condemned sin in your flesh. He condemned sin in my flesh. Before I go too far, because I see people already, they get that little twitch. What are you talking about, twitch? Let's be real clear about this. I'm not preaching to this profession. I'm talking about dying for yourself.
That's right. Yes, sir, brother.
I'm not talking about being spiritually perfect, but I'm talking about the attempt to be spiritually perfect. And not excusing ourselves and excusing our sin. The Bible says that's licentiousness. That's not liberty.
That's right.
That's to be licentious. You say, well, preacher, you know how it is. No, I don't know how it is. I live in a little box in a little shell. I don't know how it is. No, what you're really saying is I just want to excuse myself to chase after my lust, to chase after my wants, to chase after the life of sin, and not be willing to die in the flesh and overcome the flesh, because Jesus Christ, who overcame sin and condemned sin in the flesh, who died for me, has given me the victory.
Yes, sir. That's right, brother. Yep. That's right, that's what it says, brother.
A lot of people make an excuse, and here's the main reason why. Ezekiel 13:22. For with lies, there's the key, they've been lied to, and they have lied. You made the heart of the righteous sad. I have not made sad. But have strengthened. He said, strengthen the hands of the wicked. He should not return from his wicked way. Why? By promising him life.
Oh, boy.
Hey, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Bear with me on this. Don't get blown out on me. Who doesn't want to go to heaven when they die? Everybody wants to go to heaven when they die. But the promise of eternal life, you can study this out in the Bible, is given to those that believe.
Try.
Jesus never made the promise to lost people. What did he say to lost people? Go and sin no more. Your sins be forgiven thee. That's the promise. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise.
That's good, brother.
The promise to eternal life is given to those that believe. The Muslims promise eternal life, the life of virgins and some type of ethereal bliss where they have, I guess, eternal virgins that they just go in there and defile, and somehow that's going to relieve them of all the tension of being a Muslim and not being able to date. They promise everybody life. The Jehovah's Witnesses promise them a place in Jehovah's kingdom.
That's right.
They promise them what? A life in Jehovah's kingdom. Seventh-day Adventists, they promise the same thing. You'll have life. Only those that go against God will be annihilated, destroyed in hell. Hell will consume them, and they'll exist no more. Contrary to the word of God, they promise them one thing. They promise them life.
That's right.
He said, you strengthen the hand of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked ways, by promising him life. I want to say Jesus Christ, the promise he now don't bear with me, church. Eternal life is in his Son. Amen. He has given unto us eternal life. The greatest gospel verse we all know, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise.
That's right.
But how do you find eternal life? Many have been promised eternal life, yet without the reward of eternal life. Because if you die in your sins, you go to heaven.
Yes.
And they have never had the debt of sin, the stain of sin, the curse of sin, and the judgment of sin removed from their soul. They are going to die in their sins because someone has promised them eternal life. Yet they've never taught them that repentance.
That's right, brother.
To find God.
That's right. Yes, sir, brother.
And it's the curse that's on America.
Yes.
It's the curse that's on religion. It's the curse that's on many of you sitting here tonight. It's that you've never found God because you will not repent and turn to him.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
But somewhere in our life, somebody has promised us life.
Yep.
Little children, Vacation Bible School, 1999, a new Christian. The cowboy evangelist is throwing his rope and spinning his six shooters, and he's got his, you know, big belt buckle, and he comes out, and he tells a little story about a rodeo guy on horseback and gets thrown off the horse and died in the hospital that night. And he says, how many of you want to go to heaven when you die? Always have one of those little children after being terrified. So the writer and said, this is what you do. Would you pray after me?
Mm-hmm.
What's the promise? If this is ring on your prayer, you better let it ring on your prayer. You better hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
What's the promise? Life. What's the anchor? Let's go through a motion. Let's go through a process.
That's right.
Let's go through a trained formula to give you life. When he said this life is in his Son. How do you find eternal life? I want to live forever. I want to go to heaven like that. How do I find eternal life? Seeking the Lord by me may be fast, right? Paul pointed by me is me. That's the promise. Enoch walked with God. He was not, for God took him. What's the promise of God with Enoch? There in Hebrews, what's the promise of God? He is a rewarder of them. Without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Try it, brother. Yes,
sir. You cannot please God without faith. For he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Is diligently seeking him the repetition of a precluded prayer? Is diligently seeking him the repetition of somebody saying, this is all you have to do. This is all you need to do. Just go through these motions. Is that finding eternal life? Absolutely not. What they've done is they've strengthened the hands of the wicked.
That's right, brother. Yes, they did.
Do not stir from his wicked.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Lady who is very dear to us, at a Sunday school class 60 years ago, her Sunday school teacher led her in a prayer in that classroom. 60 years later, she went back to her bedroom in her house, fell on her face before a holy God, got up off her knees and testified, Jesus Christ just saved me.
Hey, yes.
She said, the reason I know I wasn't saved is because I could not live the life I lived in sin and know Christ. The violence, the anger, the cursing, the mocking, the phoniness, the hypocrisy. She said, I could not live the life I lived and know Jesus.
Preach it, brother.
Christ. And when God pulled the cover off and showed me what I was, she said, I turned to him in repentance and got gloriously.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir.
In her 70s.
Yep.
Now bear with me for 60. I know some of you are thinking that's okay. Lord, help us with that. For 60 years, she claimed she was saved.
Yeah.
And somebody has strengthened her hands.
That's right, brother. They sure did.
You should not return to a wicked way. By what?
That's right.
For 60 years, she talked herself into being a Christian. And never knew Christ. That's just one example.
That's right.
The motions of religion have made the promise if you'll just do whatever we require of you. I visited a man on his front porch that went to an independent Bible-believing Baptist church. He's dying of heart disease. Massive, massive man. He was a two chair, at least I still fit in one chair. And he had two chairs for him to sit on. He said, sir, I want you to know that we came to visit concerned about your health and wanted to pray with you. And he immediately jumped out my throat and said, I'm going to heaven just like you are. Just drink a little water. I thought, why in the world would he say that?
Yeah.
I said, well, I'm just here to talk to you, just want to encourage you. I want you to know, he said, I got baptized when I was such and such an age down at the Methodist church, and nobody's going to talk me out of me being saved. And I hadn't said anything.
Right.
I sat there, man, in an independent Baptist church for 30 years. I sat there on the porch and began to debate the benefits of baptism with him. And he told me, oh, I'm saved by the grace of God. I know I'm saved. I got baptized when I was in the Methodist church. I said, when did you come to know Christ? He said, when I got baptized. My dear friend, Brother Shay, he said, sir, I want you to know right now that baptism will never save you. He said, it saved me. Somebody had promised him life.
That's right, brother, they did.
Some of you raised here in the Romanism system. You know your promised life as long as you went through the cycle, it's just you went through the baptism, you went through it. I don't even know the process anymore. I used to know the thought in my head. You went through all the process when you're 12 years old. You know, you go through your catechism, you go through your all the things you got to go through, and then finally, you know, you get married and you're still in the church. And then, if the priest administers last rites, you might possibly have a chance to be pulled out of purgatory and go to heaven. People say people don't really believe that. You better believe they really believe that.
Sure.
By the millions, if not a billion, they believe absolutely that they'll have eternal life through the system of the merits of their works.
Yep. Try it, brother. Yep.
Because somebody promised them life.
Sure did.
And the lie is in the system. There are churches in this county that bear the title Baptist Church. That this morning would funnel little children, teenagers alike, through a cattle guard, I call it a cattle, what's the word for a cattle train system. They're in there, they're packed them in, and one at a time they fill out the decision slip. Did you ask Jesus in your heart? Yes, I did. They fill out the decision slip. Next, did you ask Jesus in your heart? Yes, they give them ABCs of salvation. You know, they send them on their way. They go home and send their mom and dad. Some well-meaning, well-intended worker goes and knocks on the door and says, hey, you know, don't you want to be baptized? They might push the parents into having to get baptized. Why? So they can pad a number on a board somewhere.
Try it, brother.
They can pad the statistics on a board somewhere. They can pad the statistics and say, hey,
yes, sir.
So many saved and so many baptized, yet they never show up in the house of God again.
That's right.
Why? Because somebody promised them.
Yes, sir.
If you do that to children, may you be cursed.
That's right. Yes, sir. You got that right, brother.
May God have mercy on your wretched soul. Brother.
Yes, sir.
If you funnel children down through a prayer, get them to repeat a prayer, promise them to go to heaven. If your good intentions, listen, outweigh the motives behind of what you're doing, may God have mercy on you. But if the motives of what you're doing are for accolades and for popularity and to be puffed up so that your name gets recognized and your name gets called out and your name appears in life,
preach
may
it,
God
brother.
Have mercy on you.
Yeah, preach it, brother.
All around. Don't get upset with this preacher. I'm telling you the truth.
That's right. Preach it, brother. Yes, sir.
All around this county, the county spread. It touches where we live in Pennsylvania. It goes up into the recesses of New York. It spreads into the Asian countries. Brother, I'm not trying to be ugly about this, but you hear about this Asian revival, and God's sweeping across Asia, and God's moving across Asia. I've been there, and I've watched them stand, give the altar call. How many of you want to receive Christ? And 300-400 little Asians get up and run down to the altar, and they have no clue what to do. They're not under conviction. They're not trembling their soul. They have no fear of God before their eyes. Their soul is not rent. Their heart's not been revealed to them. They're not in a place where they can repent, let alone know how to repent. And they stand there with no idea what's going on. And somebody comes down and leads them in a prayer or fills out a slip or hands them a piece of candy. I've seen it firsthand, brother. I've watched it go on time and time again. And they come back here and brag about this great revival going on in Asia. Send us money. Hello.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
Come on now. We're seeing a revival. Send us money. We saw 300 people saved in junior church. Send us money. The love of money is still the root of all evil. And if you pad your numbers for the dollar, you are crook and you're corrupt and you are filthy wretched. If you pad your numbers so that people send money in, my friend, you're a con man. Is what you are.
Amen.
Try to be nice.
That's right.
I hate it. I despise it. It's condemning millions to hell in America.
Yes, sir, brother.
Knock on the door. You know the Lord. Yes, I do tell you about it. Can I tell you a story? I was in a big city, major city, urban church last year. A lady comes forward. She's out of her mind. She's doped up, legal, illegal. I don't know, but she's just out of her mind. But the invitation's given. Don't you want to be saved? Well, who doesn't want to be saved? Don't you want to go to heaven? Who doesn't want to go to heaven? But being able to rightly divide the word of truth with
yes,
people
sir.
Is paramount to ministry today.
That's right.
I've seen them on the altar. Before the Lord, I lied not in Christ. I've seen men, preachers now begging God, save this little girl. Save her, Lord, when she's sitting there going.
Come on.
She was picking her nose.
That's
true story.
Yep.
Preach, Lord, save this little girl. Oh, Lord, would you save her today? Why? Because she came forward to her grandma's nudging. You need to get saved. You need to get saved. So she ran down there. So we tried to leave her a little prayer.
Yes, sir, brother.
What happened to you, young lady? I'll tell you what happened. She found a booger is what she found.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Preach it, brother. Yes, sir.
Hey, let's all shout the victory.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But you better believe somebody somewhere put a little tick mark beside their name.
Yep.
And reported somewhere that they were instrumental in this little girl getting saved.
Come on.
And she no more knew a thing about the Bible or Jesus Christ. She knew less about the Bible than the President of the United States knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all he knows is enough to try to get reelected. I'm talking about the last four or five presidents. Don't be confused about that, brother. Amen. Probably the last 9 or 10 presidents would be really honest about that. They don't just know the Bible, they can convince people they believe in the Bible.
That's right.
They got to get baptized in some type of church, but you can't get left until you're baptized in some type of church. They go down, they perform the religious ritual, go back in the Oval Office, cuss, and bring a letter.
Yeah.
Sure.
Hello, church.
Yeah.
Lady came forward out of her mind. Preacher's wife comes up to deal with her. It's real loud in there, a lot of crazy stuff going on. She says, what's going on? I'm out in the foyer. I see you out in the foyer. Just listen. She's around the corner. Doesn't know I'm standing. I'm standing right here around the corner. She's around the corner. It's a solid wall here. I hear her going, well, what did you come forward for? She's like, oh, I got a lot of problems. Like, I can't remember exactly. Well, she's like, I got all these problems. Going on. You know, she just wants someone to talk to, man. She's willing. She's hurt. Hey, thank God for people like that.
That's right, though. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
She's not in a condition. God's not dealing with her. Now, listen. A vacuum cleaner sales would convince her she's a sinner. You ever been to a lie? Yes, I have. Well, you know, the Bible says, if you commit a lie, you're a sinner. And all of a sudden, you'll show the glory of God. Oh, yes, that's true. Yes. Now, you're a sinner. Oh, yes, I'm a sinner. She is no more convinced she's a sinner.
That's right. No clue, brother. No clue. That's right.
Does she know she sinned? Yes. But knowing you're a sinner and knowing you've sinned,
that's right. Yes, sir, brother. Thank you.
You won't get saved if you know you're a sinner.
Yes. That's right, brother.
You know you're a sinner. You don't know you're a sinner.
Yes, right.
It's not some little flippant white hole, little white hole.
No, sir.
Some of you still struggle with that whole thing. If you've been at one point in the law, you're guilty of all. Some of you still don't realize you're condemned as a murderer tonight, and you don't even realize, I've never committed murder, but you know how you have.
That's right.
Because you're guilty of the whole thing.
Guilty,
process.
Brother.
You're not going to get saved. You come to grips with that.
That's right.
I am an adulterer. I am a fornicator. I am a thief. I am covetous. I am a murderer. I am a liar. I have other gods before him. I've made graven images in my life. I am a sinner.
That's right.
She says, well, do you want to be saved? I said, well, yes, I do. Now, let's be honest. She's off the streets. She obviously is off the streets. She's on dope. Let's reason this out in our minds. Do you want to be saved? The house is burning down. I'm on the top floor. The fire says, do you want to be saved?
Yes, sir, brother.
Hey, help the preacher out.
That's right. Yes, sir, brother.
I'm in a lake. It's 32 degrees. I'm floundering. My head's going under for the third time. The fisherman says, hey, do you want to be saved?
Mom.
Yeah.
The house is burning down. Do you want to be saved? No, I'm okay.
Come on.
Hey, sinner lady. Hey, lady off the streets. Thank God for her. Hey, lady on dope. Hey, lady out of her mind that stinks and doesn't know how to keep herself clean. Do you want to be saved?
That's something, bro. Yes, sir.
Come on.
Of course. Do you know Jesus Christ? Sure. Heard about it. Read about it. What does this well-meaning preacher's wife ask this lady? Have you ever been saved before? Yeah. One night it was cold. The homeless van was cruising the streets. I was laying in the gutter. I was over here sleeping over the top subway vent. The warm air coming up was keeping me from dying. They said, hey, you want a hot meal? And she looked up certainly and said, yes. Thank you. You saved me. You ever been saved before? Yes. Oh, Well, why don't you tell me about it? Well, you know, did you ask Jesus in your heart? We're playing around with things.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Most church people, preachers included, aren't even qualified to deal with people in
the past. Oh, brother, yes, sir.
Because all they're looking for is the dollar or a statistic. And they have no concern with their soul.
Sad, brother. Mom. Sad, yes, sir.
I used to hear. Preacher, in our visitation, we had 12 people saved Friday night. I was sitting in the Baptist church on a snow day, when just not too far from my house, on a snow day. Nobody else was open. I knew they'd be open. It's a little badge of honor, but we never closed. I'm in North Carolina. You get a snow day is when the snow's real heavy. You can't go to church because there's snow on the ground. I'm explaining that. Some people look confused out here. Right? It snows this white stuff and fucking. So the teenagers are sitting in front of me. They're all hands all over each other, playing footsie, rubbing each other's legs. You know, just about being perverts in church. The pastor gets up and you say, you do that church. They do that most churches, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, Bible still have the sense to teach what's good for a man not to touch a woman. That little boy's got hands all over that girl.
Oh, right. Brother. That's right.
He said, preacher, he told me, we had 57 saved on teen visitation yesterday. And I thought to myself, I thought maybe the teens got saved. I guarantee you, most of them needed to. The 57th saying, no, he's talking about people out there, these wicked, ungodly teenagers groping all over the church, rubbing footsie all over each other. One of them is pastor's son. He's about the worst one out of all of them. They went out and left 57 people in the sinner's prayer and had 57 people saved and had this big sheet they filled out, all these names of all these people they led to the Lord. They were on visitation for 1 hour. There were 12 of them. You can do the math if you want to. I'll try to help you with that. That means about, you know, if each one of them had 5 minutes with a sinner, they're winning people every about minute and 42 seconds. It took me 8 months to be under conviction before I got saved.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
You don't have to be me. You don't have to be under conviction for 8 months, but you better be under conviction of the Holy Ghost of God.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Showing what you are.
Yes, sir.
This past statue.
Yep.
Boy, I was impressed. So now this little lady's doped up. She's over here around the corner of the preacher's wife, and she's trusting with her faith and her eternity and with her salvation. He says, tell me about when you got saved. Lady had no clue what to say. So she starts calling. Did you do this? Did you go? Did you do this? Yes, yes. And she goes, well, praise the Lord, you're already saved.
Don't stop.
I got saved from a cussed life. Should I?
Yes. Oh boy, brother.
I can't assure you of anything. All I can do is preach the word.
That's right.
Tell you the truth.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ dwells on the inside of every child of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's the Spirit of God.
That's right.
By the way, when His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, we can know.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for that witness, Lord. Thank you. Yes.
There's a few things we can know, and that's one. I don't need anybody to tell me I'm saved or lost. Church, let me challenge you this one. I'm not going to go long. I know that's unusual for the day. We're testing the one that's going to go too long tonight. But challenge you with this. You die with what you have.
Oh, brother, that's right.
Has Jesus Christ ever given you the assurance of humility? But if you run back to a moment in time where somebody strengthened your hands, the Bible said this, they should not return from its wicked way.
That's right.
I promise you.
Mm-hmm.
In context, Ezekiel 13, in prophecy, if you read this context, Ezekiel 13, let me rest assured of this. That prophecy is for this day.
That's right.
be helping real quick. The word of the Lord came in to be saved. Well, that pretty much justifies it preaching. Bear with me, I'm trying to be caught. It justifies me preaching. Because the word of the Lord said.
That's right.
The word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel. They're prophesying. And say unto them to prophesy out of their own heart. Hear ye the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and see nothing. He said, prophet, you go to these prophets and you tell them, this is what I'm telling them, all right? You haven't seen a thing.
Yeah.
You know why? There's two things I want you to know as I'm done, I promise before the Lord. Number one, you're prophesying out of your own heart. Your own heart. Church, if you don't believe this, then you've never been converted. But your own heart's desperately wicked above all that.
Sure is, brother.
It's deceitful.
Yep.
And who can know? I know in my what? Heart.
That's right.
I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
You okay? My heart's putridly wicked. Still. I got a new heart. Spiritual heart.
That's right.
You got a new spiritual heart. I sure did. It's God's. Thank God for God's.
Thank you, Lord.
So I'm not making an excuse for that corrupted heart.
Yeah.
It's desperate. It's deceitful above all this.
Yep.
My heart tells me I'm safe. You know why America leads the world in divorces?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Try it, bro.
People fall apart.
Try it.
I love you. And when he gets out in 5 years, marry him.
Go ahead.
I love him. I love her. You know, love's a fickle thing.
Sure is.
It is a fickle thing.
Yep.
My wife's like, you love me? And I ought not have to tell her, am I right?
That's right, you're right, bro, yeah.
Come on, man, help me out here. I ought not have to tell her. You know why she asks?
Sure.
Oh, it just pours out on her. Oh, it just pours out on her. It's like a river pouring out of my wife.
Right.
Amen.
I stay in the Baptist churches just about, not every week, you don't preach that much, but sometimes. Sometimes when we have service, 12 times a week. We preach probably close to at least a minimum once a week somewhere. Again, you know, different months, we might preach 18, 20 times in a month, we might preach never in a month. We have an unusual ministry, God's given to us to God in glory.
Amen, bro.
But you'll preach the Bible. Mm-hmm. Watch people tremble at the law they start.
That's right.
The law of the schoolmaster brought us to Christ.
Amen.
Tremble at the law of God. As soon as that service is over, the devil will come and pluck that seed out of their
heart. Sure does, brother. That's what it says.
The devil will take that seed out of their heart, and they'll run back to where their heart is.
Oh, yes.
Which might be a vacation Bible school, a tent meeting, an altar call, their mom in the living room. I heard a lady give a testimony one time. She said, I fought and fought and fought against this thing. That's what she said. She said, because my Sunday school teacher that led me to the Lord, she said, she's in a nursing home now. She said, I knew it would destroy her. She said, I knew it would destroy her. Like that. She said, I knew it would destroy her if I didn't really get saved like that. Because that's where her heart was. Now we have prophets prophesying out of their own heart. You know what their heart is?
That's
the wrong side. You're right. Just don't have those stacks.
Try.
Secondly, I'm done. He said, "What are the foolish thoughts that follow their own spirit and have seen not?" They're preaching the gospel without knowing the gospel. And they're saying, "Just do this." And I've heard him say, "That's right."
Yep, that's right, brother. Sure, right.
Please turn to Big Shot. Don't be any wrong. Larry Goff said Big Shot. Okay. But I think it's a big shot. You see, the Lord said, when you were living in your own mind, to Saul, when you were living in your own sight, when you saw yourself as a fool, not even Saul's head and shoulders, but everybody else, but he was living his own eyes. God bless him. But when a man becomes a big shot, all of a sudden, the needs are open. The doors are open. The church is growing. Things are booming. Money's coming in. All of a sudden, he's driving a Jaguar. He's driving a Lincoln, a Rolls Royce. You know, things that he couldn't afford when he was just a little scrub preacher. Now he's arrived. He's a big shot.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
It could be that to maintain that, he has to convince everybody he's a big shot.
Oh.
So how do you do that? You drop out of your spirit, right?
Oh.
And you see nothing. Well, I've used the illustration the first time we met. We were sitting at that little restaurant over there. I was about full up to here. Up about here. Diner place over there. He said, "Brother, I'll give you a lot of food." That was an understatement of the year. I thought he was going to go eat with Eric Goff. I'm sitting there and he said, "Well, I want to be an encourager." I told the story. I didn't use your name. I wouldn't embarrass you like that, but you know, I'm not against you, I'm for you. And I told him, I said, "I want to be a discourager." I said, "Most people need to discourage." Remember talking about that? I said, "Because most people want to be, they need to be discouraged from what they're doing."
That's right.
And being in the black about it, you know. But I learned something. I just recently, the Lord taught me this difference between depression and discouragement. The Lord, my preacher preached the other Sunday, the Lord just put the switch in my heart. Thank God. Moses took Joshua. Courage, meaning literally to give him courage to cross over Jordan River, because he's going to go in there and destroy those that are inhabiting the kingdom. He didn't have to go kill millions of people. He's going to fight millions of people. God gave him courage. Yeah. That's what encouragement is. That's what the Bible says. David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Yeah.
When I'm fearful, I need encouragement. When I'm fearful, when I'm smug nervous, man, I can't do this. I don't know how we're going to do this thing. Somebody encourages me, man, in front of just get in the fight, stay in the fight. That's what encouragement is.
Right.
What I've learned is that most people are just depressed. I said, most people are just depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Things aren't going their way.
That's right.
Things aren't turning out the way they want them to turn out. So they get up and they crawl up under that juniper bush. And they sit up there, "Lord, if I could just.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to die in the hand of Jezebel." So I just crawl up under that juniper bush. I'm just going to be. What was Elijah? He was fearful. Elijah was discouraged. And that's what I hear most preachers talk about when they talk about discouragement is Elijah, but they're not discouraged, they're depressed. Elijah was with the fear that Jezebel was going to kill him, so he crawled up under that bush. There was a fear. He needed God encouraged, and God gave him strength for 40 days to travel after that. But I've learned a lot of us are just depressed. Because we're trying to satisfy this flesh.
Yeah, buddy.
We're trying to satisfy ourselves. And a lot of men in ministry, especially, are depressed because they're trying to satisfy a number.
That's right. Yes, sir, brother.
Come on. Trying to satisfy a number. I will have that pressure. Thank God I will have that pressure.
That's right, brother. Amen.
I wouldn't say no prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to be tempted to lie. So what did you do? How many did you have saved? Oh. A plant, a water. We trusted God.
That's right, brother. He gives it. Yes, sir.
There's one statute that counts. Rest assured, it's not 10 days.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
Church, bear with me. Don't get too upset with me about this. It's not yours.
That's right.
Lady came to me recently. She said, you know, she had to drag it out. I knew there was a problem. She said she faced it with my wife. She said, I'm just struggling with doubt. My mom had been born in the bed when I was 6 years old. She didn't have a word. She's like, I don't know if I'm saved. Could it be? And I just said, you need to seek the Lord.
That's it.
You can find God. She talked to us a little bit later on. She said this. She goes, I talked to my mom, and my mom said, we all go through doubts. We all go through confusion. And she goes, I realize it. I talked to somebody else, and they said the same thing. We all go through doubts. We all go through times of struggle. She goes, things are a lot better now. I'm okay.
Uh-oh.
You asked my wife, I got in the car, and I was almost shaking. I trembled in my heart. I thought, my soul, things aren't okay. You didn't go to the Word of God and give assurance. You didn't go to the Word of God and find out. You didn't go to the Word of God and grasp these things and grasp this truth and hold this truth dear. You went to your mom.
Try it, brother.
I've had people say, look at me, please tell me, am I lost or am I saved?
Try.
I don't know. Do you know what most people do? Brother, you've been a good man. You know you're saved. You know you love the Lord.
Try.
I don't know. Hey, I know you at church. God knows you at home.
Try, yes, sir, brother. Brother. Sure does.
Oh, he's a good Brother Dale might have a clue. I'm just telling you, he stayed my home. I've been around being his family. We haven't been in a meal together. We said, he could have me fooled.
Try it.
I could have you fooled.
That's right, brother. Sure could.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Oh, brother Goff, he has wonderful spiritual discernment. He wouldn't put a man of God in a pulpit unless he knew for sure that was God's perfect will for the church. Calling and begging to come. I beg, preacher, please let me come. Preacher, I need to preach somewhere. Please, not even really. I'm just joking. Don't they lost me in prison?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
That's right.
Come on.
Put
a TV on. That's right. Amen. Three things. If you're doubting, and you really don't know, do I have this Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, there's only one answer. It's in his life.
That's right. It's right there.
You said you're preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Preach the cross is done in perishable. And those of us who say, it is the power of God.
Amen.
You said it. Second, I know what I'm saying. And I was trained from when people Christ, the man who you spoke of, the man of God's talk. How do I recover? You start handing out tracts, mouse tracts. I you sit down with the Word of God and figure out how to get this without dragging somebody into heaven with you and really condemning them to hell, strengthening their hands.
Try it.
Right.
That's good, preacher.
If you don't have discerned conviction in somebody's life, you'll do more, than you listen to them, you'll do more damage trying to get them to repeat a prayer than you'll ever do walking away from them.
That's right. That's Amen. Right, brother. That's right.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Third, if you're lost, you need Jesus Christ. You got it. You must turn to God.
That's Amen. Right.
From that. You say, what is repentance? Repentance is just, and some is confused about faith. Repentance is just sorrow, no. Repentance is a term, as Brother Dale says, a term that invokes your turn to a holy God, and you turn from yourself, and you turn from your sin, and you turn from ungodliness, and turn to a holy God with repentance for Him.
That's right.
Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Salvation.
That's right.
Commit the heart of the righteous say. I pour my heart out to you. This is my ministry first. You ask my wife. Nine years ago. Being part of the righteous act, my heart's broken. God's seen America dying and going to heaven on the wings of religion.
That's right.
Why did they sold the buildings? They wanted a fire escape out of hell rather than peasants to live on. You made the heart of the righteous stand where I've not made sand. Strengthen the hand of the wicked. He should not return from his wicked ways. My Lord promises you.
That's good.